Hello, welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. Tonight we'll be talking about the Monsterverse. You of course know my co-host, JT from Saskatoon.
Good evening.
And Red Ink.
Let them fight.
So, the Monsterverse is, of course, Warner Brothers' attempt to create another cinematic universe with using the licenses they have of some of the, was it Toho? Toei, yeah. Kaiju monsters like Godzilla or Gojira or whatever you fuck you want to say, Rodan, yeah, Mothra, save Mothra. Let's see here, Jet Jaguar. Am I forgetting?
King Caesar and Geras. God, I can't remember. There's the giant spider, Kamunga, I think it was called. Batra, which is like the evil Mothra. Yeah, there's a lot of cool monsters in the Monsterverse. Although it's Toho for Godzilla, Toei's more leaning towards Super Sentai and Kamen Rider and such.
Okay, Toho, pardon me. Anyways, well, this all started obviously with Godzilla. There was Bryan Cranston was in the Godzilla movie.
And he wasn't really in the Godzilla.
That's what I was about to get to. He died like in the first bit of it.
Advertisements lied to us. I wanted to see Walter White take on Godzilla, damn it.
Yeah, that's the whole reason the advertisements were filled with him, because Walter White was popular at the time.
Yeah. And then he played Zordon.
Because he just couldn't let it go, but he had to go back to his roots, because he voiced a bunch of Power Rangers monsters back in the day.
Did he?
He actually did. There's, I think, three or four monsters in across the first three, like, Mighty Morphin series.
Was this before Malcolm in the Middle?
Yeah, this was well before Malcolm in the Middle.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's... I wasn't just going to see Walter White take on, you know, the King of the Monsters, but it's a Godzilla film, gosh darn it. And as much as I do like Godzilla 2014, you know, this reinvention of Godzilla for like the second time in America, you know, after 98.
I'd say 1.2 times.
98 doesn't count.
Yeah. In fact, Toho, and this is a fact, Toho bought the rights to Zilla, as they refer to the creature as, back from Warner Brothers specifically so they could have Godzilla nuke his sorry ass when he fought him in Godzilla Final Wars.
No, it's not what happened. What happened was Zilla was grandfathered in to Toho. Because when that movie came out, they're like, oh, that's not fucking Godzilla. We're not even going to talk about it. We're not going to even acknowledge it exists. It's not fucking Godzilla.
One of the directors then, famously said they took the god out of Godzilla.
Yeah, and then they made the Godzilla animated series, which actually became very popular in Japan. So they made Zilla Jr. an official kaiju, and Zilla was grandfathered in.
Okay. Because
Zilla Jr. was... Godzilla, Zilla's mother.
Yes. But Zilla did die in that movie with a single tail swipe and atomic breath into the Sydney Opera House. Famous line, I knew that tuna eater couldn't defeat Godzilla. And
next, snap finger.
Yeah, but there was also a line in a previous movie where they were talking about Godzilla sightings, and you have all these people in the briefing room, and one person says, there was a sighting in New York, and someone else says, oh, no, we disproved that. That wasn't Godzilla. It was like a throwaway line.
They literally said that was a mutated iguana that the Americans thought was a Godzilla.
Yes, it was a funny throwaway line. I have to hand them that.
Although, I mean, I have when I say I have a lot of love for Godzilla 98, it's like I enjoy it as a monster movie, not as a Godzilla movie. I did a while ago look for the unproduced script, and as much as it, this may have been the actual thing, but they actually did some world building in the second script where the island where the French nuclear test went off, they basically, there's all these other kaiju out there now that just haven't been discovered yet, and they essentially created their own monster island, which I thought was, at least they tried, finger quotes. But 2014, I like the world building with like Monarch, and you find this skeleton, which, yes, you have to read some of the related media to, because they don't mention it in any of the films, that that was actually a skeleton of a previous member of Godzilla's species that died and was consumed by the Mutos. But I'm sorry, I do not like the Mutos. That is just the ass ugliest monster that has ever been created for a Godzilla movie.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but one version of Godzilla had the nuclear tests either awaken him or something, that from the Bikini Atoll, right?
It's not like they don't really state what happened. They don't state why Godzilla awoke. They say because of the nuclear tests, that's why they think. Because they used to, they think that Godzilla survives on radiation.
A lot of the Titans do. I think they've mentioned that.
And because of the nuclear tests, is like he had a reason to come to the surface.
Okay, so I'm just I just want to make sure, because I'm totally imagining it, that Bikini Atoll nuclear test was mentioned somewhere.
It was shown in the beginning.
That was the Castle Bravo explosion that they were showing.
Oh, okay. If there's a way we could tie SpongeBob to Godzilla, I would love it.
That's where you're going with this?
Yes.
Yeah. And I like how in the greater context, again, I've read the extended media where to fill in gaps here if you guys want. The castle, they write off the Castle Bravo explosion as this disaster when really it was Monarch, when it was a much more militarized American exclusive project, that they were just trying to kill Godzilla. And that they didn't, and then they was like, oh, it was an accident and shit like that. The biology of some of these monsters, like, even if you get some of the smaller flora, is it flora or fauna that's related to creatures? Is that fauna?
Fauna is creatures.
Yeah. Like, when you look at some of the creatures, and like when we see Kong Skull Island, they had some really, I thought, interesting designs there. Like, you had the giant stick bug, where the one soldier's sitting next to, like, you think it's like this fell tree and this rotted piece of wood, and then it gets up and walks away, and I was like, fuck, that was awesome. But then you have him get swallowed alive by a skull crawler.
I thought that stick bug actually stabs them and like drains their fluids or something.
No, that's the looking at the wiki here, the mother long legs, which is that huge tall spider like creature with the legs that look like bamboo, that it swallows up one of the guys and starts sucking them dry, and then the skull crawler's got like the hyperactive metabolism, so it's essentially just like boiling them alive in its stomach acid before it swallows the rest. And they had, in some of the comics, like they had a Kong miniseries that takes place between the events of Skull Island and Godzilla 2014, where in the back of each issue, they have like kind of a Ripley's Believe It or Not kind of style guide. Like, you know, they're, this is what Monarch has named this creature, and this is what this creature is capable of. And if you ever get a chance to look at that, I highly recommend. I thought it was kind of fascinating. It's a greater insight in the design that went into this new franchise. But I guess, what did you guys think of the new design of Godzilla, like with him being kind of a thick boy?
It's not that unusual. I mean, if you've seen some of the costumes he's gone through, he's been a thick boy like several times in the years.
Yeah.
It's but mostly, I mean, what upsets people is the feet. Because they gave him, like, elephant feet, which doesn't really suit him.
He should have, like, lizard feet with, like, the big toes and claws and shit. It's like, that's what I'm used to.
I'm used to, I think my favorite design of Godzilla is probably the one that came out of the Heisei films, like Godzilla versus Space Godzilla, Godzilla versus Destoroyah, like that. But I understand the design here. It's this bigger, heavier Godzilla, so you would have bigger, wider feet to support him. You know, you got Godzilla, and then you got, you really don't see a lot of Titans, right, until King of the Monsters. Out of, aside from the classics that are there, are there any of the newer Titans that you guys like the look of?
Not really. They seem like nameless jobbers.
They, a lot of them look like, look less Toho and look more Cloverfield, and I think that's a detriment, not a plus.
Yeah. I mean, the most recognizable one you see in that movie, there's the Behemoth, which looks like this Godzilla-sized woolly mammoth type of creature. And then you see a Muto in the, where they're all bowing down to Godzilla at the end there.
Right, but yeah, the looks of the of the quote Mutos are just way too, like I said, inspired more by Cloverfield monsters than Toho monsters. It's just ugly.
I don't know about that, because if you actually seen Cloverfield, it's a disgusting looking creature.
The Mutos don't look exactly pleasant either.
I know, but the Mutos look more video gamey to me.
Yeah, I mean, the creature in Cloverfield, I'd say, would looks a hell of a lot more like the hybrid infant from, like, Alien Resurrection than anything from the Monsterverse. I mean, the Mutos, it's, in my mind, like, being a fan, like, is this thing supposed to be, like, a giant bat? Is it supposed to be, like, some sort of winged lizard or an insect or something? It's, like, it's just so nebulous. It's, I'm not saying it's, overall, it's not a bad design as a monster. It's just not really having an idea of what it's based on or inspired by.
They're moths.
Yeah. I mean, but speaking of the Mutos, sorry, you go, Red.
I know Mothra's so called Mothra, but Mothra's actually a butterfly.
Yeah.
The Mutos look like moths to me.
Yeah, actual moths. And, you know, it's kind of funny you brought up Godzilla as the topic tonight, Ben, because I finally got to go to the comic store last week, and I finally found it after a couple years of looking. Around the time King of the Monsters came out, they put out an original graphic novel that introduced the Russells, like the mom and dad from that movie, in this graphic novel. Takes place between 2014 and King of the Monsters, and you meet a Muto Prime, which is, like, you know, the progenitor of the species, and basically he's actually strong enough to pose a threat to Godzilla. He breaks Godzilla's dorsal fins, so that's one thing I know a lot of fans bitched about. Why does Godzilla's spines look different in King of the Monsters in the first movie? Again, this is one of those things. If you don't read the graphic novel in between the films, they've never mentioned that, but that's why his spines look bigger.
You shouldn't require homework to enjoy a movie.
Well, I don't think it's really homework. It's not like, hey, you won't know the answer. It's just he shows up and he's got new fins. The answer is in the comic book. So if you want to go and do that, read that, you can. It's just, I read that, and it's, he gets in this fight with Muto Prime, which has a name and that from Japanese mythology, but I can't pronounce it without entirely insulting the culture, so I'm not going to try. And that's how they explain it, is the nuclear lava that flows in his veins, like, eventually regrows and resolidifies into the sharper spines we see in the next movie. But yeah, there wasn't, like, a whole lot of things. You got Ghidorah, or the three-headed dragon.
Who's the most evil of them in the classic movies?
King Ghidorah.
Thank you. I think he's my favorite version that I've ever seen on film. Do you guys prefer this one, or do you like Mecha King Ghidorah from the Heisei films, or even original King Ghidorah?
Ghidorah's always been Godzilla's main rival.
Personal opinion is this is how I treat it. Ghidorah is Godzilla's big main rival. I think he's an excellent heel to Godzilla's almost face, but not exactly face.
The Zod to his Superman.
They're both sort of assholes, but the Godzilla's like less of an asshole because he's like doesn't give a fuck and he doesn't actively go out to fuck things up. He fucks things up when he's there. But I treat the monster, like the giant monsters and all that, like it's almost like watching a wrestling match. But giant monsters destroying towns and cities and islands and shit versus Vince McMahon unmasking saying it was me the whole time. But it's the same sort of thing, like Monster X. Remember the whole thing with Monster X and they revealed, oh, it's Ghidorah?
Yeah, I knew as soon as I heard Monster X, is like, gee, I wonder who that is.
So I treat the whole thing like wrestling. Like they know what it is. They know it's not high art, but you're supposed to, you know, if you let that go, you can enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, one character or one kaiju from like classic Godzilla mythology, the history of the films, I would like to see is my boy Anguirus. He's outside of like the big three, like Godzilla, Mothra, and Ghidorah. Anguirus is my favorite. You know, like this Ankylosaurus, not aardvark, armadillo sort of monster with the spikes, and he's kind of a jobber. I mean, he is a jobber, but I like him. Is there like a classic Godzilla kaiju you guys would like to see in this design aesthetic? You know,
has Gamera shown up yet?
Wrong fucking company. Why don't you just ask if Ultraman's gonna show up?
All right, sorry. Jesus Christ, I'm not a big monster guy. I thought I made that clear at the beginning.
When is the next Superman versus Spider-Man movie coming up,
Ben? Okay, fine. Jesus Christ.
They've done like a major redesign with Gamera. Like you had the Gamera trilogy in the 90s, which essentially just made him, you know, into a Heisei era kaiju. I did read some interviews with some of the production designers and a couple of the writers when Kingdom of the Monsters was coming out. And like, you know, that scene where the sub goes into like this ancient underwater temple in the hollow earth. And basically that was their nod to the Gamera movies and how Gamera was created by Atlanteans. So that was their nod to it. Cause that was, you know, they found Godzilla lives in Atlantis and they nuked Atlantis to save Godzilla. Although now, you know, people who, not flat earth people, but along those lines, like everyone is like, anytime somebody comes up championing using the hollow earth as a fictional idea, you get all these like wannabe scientists explain to them how that couldn't possibly exist. But that's like trying to. I'd love to see a scientist like, well, you know, Godzilla wouldn't work because, yeah, we understand why Godzilla wouldn't work. It's a giant nuclear lizard. We're not here for reality.
But, yeah, it's, like I said, I'm not a big big monster guy. I've only seen, like, I think three Godzilla movies in my life, not counting the Matthew Broderick one.
You have TBS in America, right?
Yes.
You never seen
Godzilla movies? I've seen three. I just said I've seen three.
Because I remember we've got TBS in the 90s here in Canada, and I distinctly remember, like, every single Sunday they would have Godzilla movies on TV.
Sure that wasn't TNT, Red?
No, it was TBS.
Okay. So I remember seeing more Godzilla movies on TNT with Joe Bob Briggs. Even love that... Sorry?
Because one of the things, like, when I was talking about the Godzilla animated series, they were... That animated series, they were remaking a lot of the original movies. Because I remember watching an episode of the animated series, I'm like, I've seen this Godzilla fight before. This guy's going to... Or Godzilla's going to go on top of a cliff and throw a fucking rock at this fucking crab monster.
And he did that.
And that's what he did. And I'm like, oh, that's from an actual Godzilla movie.
Yeah. Or they basically had that one episode with, like, the orange nanotech that was supposed to eat, like, garbage and filth. And, I mean, that's basically Hedorah, except kind of sort of in reverse. And some of the monsters they had in there, I thought were really, you have the giant, God, I can't remember what they named the, I think it was Crustaceous Rex, was the first kaiju that Godzilla fought, which was like this giant weird bipedal crab thing that would, like, suck the tar off these squids because it ate off that, and then Godzilla basically buries it, and it's taken to Monster Island by General Hicks. I know in the animated series, Red, do you have a favorite episode or a favorite monster overall?
Not really. I used to like the intro. That's about it.
I liked how they did Mechagodzilla.
It was Cyberzilla?
Yes.
Yeah, though that was interesting, the fact that they... I forget if they ever used... There's one of the Mechagodzilla movies where when they built Mechagodzilla, he was built around the skeleton of the original Godzilla.
Yes.
Can't remember which one. I know it wasn't the Heisei. The Heisei Mechagodzilla was like a purely mechanical creature that had like the giant flying backpack.
I think it's the modern, like the most recent one that is built around the original Godzilla.
Something in the Millennium series, I think.
I can't remember its name. They don't call it Mechagodzilla. They call it something else.
Is it Mogira or something like that?
I can't remember. But I know it goes psycho. Like, during its battle, its eyes turn red and shit, and then they're like, oh, the spirit of the original Godzilla is taking over. We can't control it, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, just look, it's, yeah, that would have been in the Millennium period, because the only Mechagodzilla that's shown up in the last couple of years was in that trilogy of anime Godzilla films that were on Netflix. Mm. Where it's not so much Mechagodzilla, but they call it Mechagodzilla City, which somehow counts according to the writers. I was like, no, it doesn't turn into a giant bipedal mechanical lizard. It's not Mechagodzilla. Of course, the, Kiryu.
Kiryu, that's who. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, from, Godzilla Against Mechagodzilla and Godzilla Tokyo SOS. So I remember one of those Godzilla films, Godzilla wasn't an actual lizard, but he was like the collection of all the souls that died in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Oh. And they'd come back for revenge.
Why is he attacking Japan then versus America?
Because they're so pissed off, they don't even care. I can't remember which movie it was, but if you ever see a picture of Godzilla where he just has like blank white eyes, that's the one.
Is that like the newer ones where Godzilla starts out as like a fucking weird kind of slug monster and then mutates further and further, eventually becoming Godzilla?
No, that's Shin Godzilla. That was the most recent one. Because, like I mentioned, Godzilla Final Wars, that was the last film Toho did, and they put Godzilla in the vault for 10 years. Then 2014 came out, and I think it was like 2015 or 2016 that Shin Godzilla came up. But yeah, that's the one where he comes out. He can't breathe on land, and then he mutates gills, and they imply that he was further mutating into like human-sized creatures because they have this shot of his tail.
Is that the one with the weird tail with the second head?
The second head, and at the end of the film, you see like these human like heads and arms like branching out from it, like he was further dividing. But yeah, now I think overall with the Legendary series, my favorite redesign, I can't even call it a redesign, it's just that the way they did Kong finally in my head, like giant fucking ape, like they finally got it right with that. I've never been a big Rodan fan, so having him be this giant fiery lava dinosaur, like
I thought it was cool.
It's just I've never been a big Rodan fan, so
I don't think most people are Rodan fans, because mostly Rodan just comes in, flies in, Godzilla fucking punches him, and he falls over. That's Rodan's whole fucking role in every Godzilla movie.
Is Rodan the Dan Hibiki of the monsters?
No, that's more Anguirus. Because Rodan's a legitimate threat. Anguirus is just this jobber that thinks he has a chance. I mean, I love Anguirus, and I'm a fan of Dan, but...
But if we're talking about Godzilla, like King of the Monsters, the plot was so fucking dumb. Is that one woman's like, oh, Godzilla killed my son in his first attack, but somehow I want him to rule over the world, and I'm going to awaken all the kaiju, and they're going to rule over us.
And they all bow to Godzilla?
You know, that made more sense than Dr. Russell. You know, it's like she's got this, you know, trauma from losing her son to this giant lizard, and I get that. Like that is a decent enough basis for a motivation, but I do not buy Vera Farmiga, the actress who played Dr. Russell. Just there wasn't enough emotion. There was barely any emotion. It was like, no, we're going to give it back to the animals. We're going to live in harmony with them. They're going to balance out the world. And we're like, yeah, I don't believe anything you just said. But the only line she said in that movie that I was like, fuck yeah, about is she's like, long live the king, before Burning Godzilla showed up to, you know, melt Boston and take out Ghidorah. Mm.
Okay, well, let's talk about King Kong.
So, are we talking about the first King Kong movie, Kong Skull Island?
Yes.
Well, I remember seeing a chart of how big the monsters are compared to each other, and Kong is this tiny little shit compared to fucking Godzilla.
Well,
Godzilla towers over him.
That's true. But if we go by the actual appearances, but... What I do have to say is they did make Kong noticeably bigger in Skull Island versus like any of his previous appearances, like say the
original. I'd say he was on par with the original.
He was built, but more defined in Skull Island. I mean, you look at the Godzilla from the, or not Godzilla, King Kong from, like, it was 1978, 77, where he's on top of the World Trade Center and had the dude in it, Jeff Bridges, like that. He just looked like a giant gorilla versus the original King Kong, or even the Peter Jackson one, where he's like this mountain of goddamn muscle.
I'm talking about Godzilla Lives, that movie?
No, talking about King Kong.
King Kong lives, I mean. Where he has the mechanical heart?
No, I've never actually seen that movie, so.
Well, so what they did a little bit bigging on King Kong, and they did a bit of reduction on Godzilla to make this upcoming matchup happen.
A lot of fucking reduction.
Okay, a lot of reduction. You're right about that. But you get my point is at least from what I've seen, Skull Island Kong is bigger than Peter Jackson Kong.
Oh,
yeah, way bigger.
No, yeah. Like by many, many factors of size.
But they were already starting the embiggening.
Well, they say it in the movie, like John C. Reilly says, you know, he's still growing. And granted, that was like, what, 1973, so he's growing for like another 40-some years. So it's not outside the realm of possibility. Now, if they were to imply that this little, you know, teenage Godzilla or King Kong's supposed to take on, you know, the King of All Monsters, like, no, King Kong's got no skin in that fight. But
King Kong ain't got shit on him?
Yes. I see, I was fighting myself not to say that line, Ben, so thank you for that. But no, yeah, no, see, grows, like, I actually were trying to, because I don't know how I glommed onto this fact, but watching the new trailer, and you see it where, you know, Kong roars in the water, and then Godzilla pops out, and they get fighting on the supercarrier. Now, I have done some research, and confirmed that that carrier, it doesn't actually exist, like, its name, but they are building super carriers of that size. And their tonnage, fully loaded, going out to sea, is 100,000 tons.
Yeah, that's a Gerald Ford class, by the way.
Yeah, Gerald, like Ben said. So 100 tons, fully loaded, out in the ocean, they're good to go. Now, Kong and Godzilla are clearly more or less the same size. I would probably give Godzilla a little more in the weight category, but they're both roughly 100,000 tons each. Now, I'm not so good with the math, but if the Gerald Ford, if the Ford is 100,000 tons and it can move, would it be however slightly be able to carry the weight of those two? And I'm talking like the deck's gone right down to the surface of the ocean. Would it be able to handle that much weight?
No.
Okay.
Let me put it this way. Studying carriers and war history was a hobby of mine. And do you know about the Doolittle Raid in World War II?
No, I do not.
Okay, World War II, immediately after Japan attacked, there was a colonel, not a colonel, but it was a colonel. It was an Air Force colonel that said, we need to strike back at Japan immediately so that they know they aren't untouchable. To sort of let them know, hey, yeah, we can touch you. So he proposed this idea where he got the Air Force bombers on a Navy carrier to launch. And there was like 12 bombers. And they had to pretty much take out all the planes of this carrier, the USS Hornet. Just so they could get the carrier close enough to Japan to do this Doolittle Raid launch. And the idea of the Doolittle Raid was basically to fly these bombers over Japan, drop some bombs in Tokyo, fly to China, land in China, and be like, peace out, fuck you, we touched you. And when they put these bombers on the carrier, after they took out all the other planes, they had to like take out everything else that... for carrier operation, the Hornet was defenseless. They had to have the Enterprise swimming next to it so they had air cover. But with all those bombers on there, they said that the displacement was so different that the Hornet sunk by 6 more inches in displacement. So keep an eye, that's just bombers. Two giant ass monsters fighting on the deck. No, that ship's sinking.
Well, obviously, but again, we're talking about a movie with a giant gorilla and a giant.
You asked the question. I gave you the answer.
I know. I just asked if it was possible. I'm not asking for real. It's just my own education, you know. I mean, that's going to be one of the money shots of the film, is Godzilla getting clocked by that haymaker from Kong.
But in the previous movies, Godzilla dwarfs those fucking carriers.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be... His fucking...
Foot?
Not his foot. His fucking claw should take up the fucking space that he's taking up in that fucking carrier.
That's true. Maybe but I mean,
like in 2014 Godzilla, it shows Godzilla like swimming towards the fucking Mutos, and he's surrounded by carriers, and they're like a tenth of his fucking size, and there's like five carriers fucking following him.
Yeah, I don't disagree that the scale is off, but I refer you to how they portrayed Unicron in the Transformers animated movie. It's not like they really kept that to a consistent size.
Well,
and
that's Unicron, and we're talking about Godzilla.
You know, I'm just saying, in the idea, you watch that film, like, Unicron fluctuates in size and scale sporadically throughout that movie. And it happened here. I'm just here for a giant monster fight. You know, realism be damned, because we're already talking again about these giant creatures that there's no way in nature something could grow that big without its entire skeleton crumbling under the weight of its muscles and organs.
So there's lots of, you know, the inner world stuff in this trailer too. And hints that there was a previous Titan War, and for some reason King Kong has a giant battle axe made out of what looks like a Godzilla dorsal fin as a blade.
I think that actually happens in the movie, that you saw in Kong Skull Island that, you know, he's a thinking creature. Like that scene where he just grabs a tree, wipes everything off, and then shoves it down the crawler's throat. Like, he's got some tactics. And it's not like you really got to be a genius to, you know, stick a nail through a baseball bat and go swinging. I certainly don't think Godzilla is going to lose a spine, and Kong is like, his spine... That could block it. It's not like he's going to have that moment. It's literally he's going to stick the spine in like this giant ass tree and go swinging, because Kong will bow to no one.
They fucking say that. Oh my God.
You know, because while we're talking about kaiju here, have you seen the new trailer for Godzilla Singular Point, like that Netflix anime that's coming out?
Nope.
No.
Yeah, they're apparently one of the recurring characters in the show is this group of scientists that are tracking kaiju's appearances. They build their own mech to fight the kaiju. What do you think it's named?
What?
Jaga.
Ah.
So and it's this steampunky, spindly arm looking thing.
So
I'm happy.
Do you think that we're going to see a Mecha Godzilla or Jet Jaguar in this movie?
They've pretty much confirmed that Mecha Godzilla is in this movie already.
Ah.
Like that scene where you see the good looking Asian dude in front of a computer monitor, and if you pause and you look, like he's got that's Mecha Godzilla specs on the screen. And the fan theory is that Godzilla and King Kong will fight, but the first time Kong fights Zilla, it's going to be Mechagodzilla in disguise or something like that. But Mechagodzilla has been confirmed to be in this movie.
I see.
Yeah. And why not? Although, who's behind it, no one really knows. Although, the prevailing fan theory is it's... what's his name, Jonah from King of the Monsters, that he's somehow created Mecha Godzilla after getting the severed head of Ghidorah in that end credit scene.
See, the problem I have with this whole concept of the Monsterverse is the whole idea of, like, there's end credit scenes, there's all this extra material that's trying to tie things really tightly together. And it's like, just get some fucking monsters tearing up a city, fighting each other, and Godzilla sliding on his tail to do a double leg kick, or flying through the air with his atomic breath or some shit. You don't have to think too hard about this. It feels like trying to plan like the Marvel Cinematic Universe with monsters, and you don't need to think that deep.
But we got to hire popular actors, or nobody's going to show up. You know, Seven from that Netflix series? We have to put her in the movie.
I mean, there are other elements of the Godzilla franchise in here that... One, it was really sly, and you'll catch it if you pay attention watching King of the Monsters, and one from the original film that comes literally out of left fucking field and you have no explanation, and that was the Oxygen Destroyer. I mean, it's the weapon that killed the original Godzilla in 1954. I was like, okay, we got the Oxygen Destroyer. Can we get like two sentences, maybe one sentence explaining how does the Oxygen Destroyer work? Because we don't get that. But the other thing I alluded to is I forget the name, but it's the fairy twins that usually show up alongside Mothra. And they tell you in pictures, but like Dr. Chen, like Zhang Zi, she's got a twin sister. And her mother had a twin sister. And her grandmother had a twin. Like that's the Monsterverse version of having the fairy twins guarding Mothra, which I thought was kind of cool. Kind of elegant, but, you know, it's not hitting you over the head with like, hey, we got the Oxygen Destroyer. You remember that from Godzilla history versus, you know, here's our nod to, you know, an aspect of the franchise. So... I know I forget. I haven't seen any of the classic like Showa era Ghidorah movies in forever. But even in the original ones, did they ever posit that he generated storms where he flew, or is it just that he threw lightning from his mouth?
Usually, he was followed by a thunderstorm.
Okay.
It wasn't like a fucking hurricane like in the goddamn movie. In that movie, though.
Yeah.
It would be like just storm clouds following him and.
Or they put a dark filter over the camera.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
But I like how they also reference that Ghidorah isn't from Earth.
Because it's like, there's no way his head should grow back like that. And it's like, well, that nothing like that happens in the natural order. Maybe he's not part of the natural order. It's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, you got planarian worms and lizards and geckos and all that, like creatures that, you know, can regrow some limbs, but nobody that can grow like a head like that.
Well, yeah, I think it's in the original version of Ghidorah actually comes from Mars, and he wiped out Mars. And then he came to Earth, and then Godzilla fucking took him down.
I think one of my favorite things about Ghidorah in this movie is, you know, benefit of, like, they use motion capture. I've seen the behind-the-scenes making of where you got these three guys, like, one guy in the middle with his arms across his shoulders, the other guy, so, you know, they could move together properly to accurately, finger quotes, accurately convey a creature with three heads. But I appreciate that. But it's something about the way Ghidorah moved and his overall design that he literally looks... couldn't exist in real life, but he looks real. Like, this is the fully realized King Ghidorah. No. as far as creatures go in this movie, you know, I know I asked this before, what's your favorite Godzilla entrance in King of the Monsters, guys? If you have one. Because mine, I really like the one where he comes up out of the ice when Ghidorah is released, but my favorite is where he comes up out of the water after they blow up a nuke in his face to wake him up and give him like a cup of coffee. But that in itself, like, there's so many of the science nerds were bitching about that scene. It was like, there's no way the sub should have gone up. They all should have exploded from decompression. And I was like, yes, I realize that's what should have happened. But again, Godzilla movie.
Again, I don't really have a strong feeling about, I remember one really cool intro in one Godzilla movie. I don't know which one it was. It was one of the three I saw, where, like, you had all these clouds. What was impressive for me was it was done with, like, those old people in suits and puppets. And you had, like, I don't know how they did it. They had clouds, and you had, like, out of the clouds came Ghidorah with his wings, and it looked really fucking badass. And do you know the one I'm talking about?
I'm pretty sure that was when he appeared in the Heisei series, although I forget which version or which movie in that series. It's probably some of the more modern ones. Did the monster look like badass, or did it look like badass but cheap?
Let's be honest, they've always looked a little thrifty.
Okay, did this look really thrifty? Like, you can see the zipper thrifty, or...
I did not see a zipper.
Okay, that is probably the Heisei movies.
Okay.
So, how about you, Red? What's one of your favorite monster entrances in the Godzilla franchise?
I don't really have one, though.
You know, I asked a friend, and I still talk to him. He's still a good friend, although I have to question my friendship with him when I asked him... Once, what's your favorite Godzilla movie? And he's like, oh, I love 98. And I did that long, you bow your head a little bit, but you stare at him with these wide open eyes as if to, you can't quite believe somebody could be alive and yet say something so stupid.
And yet you still do podcasts with Dog. With Dodson.
Wow, that, Red.
Let me guess, hammer, nail on the head?
No, that it wasn't him. This is a friend of mine here in Saskatoon that I've never once podcasted with. And this is like, okay, why is that your favorite movie? It's like the first one I saw in the theater, so entirely nostalgia. He's like, no, I like that movie. And it's like, it's the only one you've seen, haven't you? He's like, yeah, it's the only Godzilla movie I've seen. I was like, okay. It's like, what's one of the... I try not to hate my friends when their opinions are flawed like that. Kind of like how you guys deal with me all the time. But...
I remember the one where Godzilla does the tail slide.
Yeah, does the missile drop kick.
Yeah. I remember the one with Ghidorah coming out of the clouds, and it looked really fucking badass. I've been the same. I don't know. I remember when that one with Godzilla had a son.
Well, that happened. Yeah, I mean that.
He was like an asshole to his son.
It never happened.
Yeah, he really only had a son in the Heisei movies. You know,
it never happened.
No, the Heisei is.
I don't know what you're talking about, JG. Never happened.
Okay, did the one in this never thing happened. That Red in the thing that never happened, did his son it look like he had special needs?
Happened.
He had a horn on the top of his head.
Yeah, that was the Showa era. That's the one we don't talk about. The Godzilla Jr. in the Heisei films is actually kind of cool, and he takes over for his dad when he dies after fighting Destoroyah.
Now, I've seen clips of other ones, like I've seen Space Godzilla, which has like these giant spiky shoulder pads and shit.
And crystals, yeah.
Yeah.
They never really clarified where he came from.
Space!
Oh, yes, of course! I'm trying to think. There's a monster in the animated series.
They had like a Mecha King Kong in the animated series.
That's the one I was thinking about, where they go to Japan and they have this, it's a really dumb joke, but Godzilla's swimming to Japan and this Japanese boy looks out at them and he's like, Mama, Mama, Gojira, Gojira in the water. And she's like, oh, silly. Why would Gojira go to Japan? And I was like, well, they actually made that joke.
That production company is actually very subtle about jokes like that.
Yeah.
Like, well, they're the same production company that made Men in Black, and they did a great joke about having to neuralize Hollywood multiple times, and Jay says that's why they make the same movie and over and over again.
Yeah. But actually, the Mechanicong in that episode, it was, and if I'm not mistaken, was a nod to how Toho tried to make more than just the King Kong versus Godzilla back in the 60s. And they actually made one other movie where Kong comes back to Japan. He has to fight this mechanical doppelganger, but because of three or four different people claiming they had the rights to King Kong, the franchise potential for Kong in Japan fell apart. And then we get so many lovely, like, I think it was Toei did, there was this really shitty Kong cartoon from like the early 60s about this kid trapped on this, on like, you know, in Skull Island, and he makes friends with Kong, and it's really stiff, broken animation. But that was one of the first offerings that they came from Japan as the kind of a lead up to King Kong versus Godzilla. Cause I mean, both those franchises weren't particularly popular when that movie came out. Like, King Kong versus Godzilla actually reinvigorated Godzilla, and that's why we got the rest of the Heisei or the Showa era movies, because before Kong Godzilla there was Godzilla and Godzilla Raids Again. They hadn't actually made a Godzilla movie for about 6 years prior to that.
Talk about a dry spell.
Well, after King Kong versus Godzilla, I think, like, there was the one Toho versus Mechanicong, and then there was another bit of a drought until that 70s Kong with Jeff Bridges.
So, who are you betting on in the big fight?
Well, caveat to that, obviously the only winner in that fight is going to be us, the fans. But I'm putting my money on the king of all monsters.
Kong?
Kong's going to put up a... I think he's going to put up a bit of a fight, but Godzilla's going to take the crown. Red?
I can already tell that it's going to be, we're teaming up against a bigger evil.
Save Mothra.
Why did you say that name? Can you believe how much that meme has proliferated since they like announced this thing? It's like, and Mothra's probably not even going to be in the fucking movie, unless it's like an end credit scene where that egg they mentioned in King of the Monsters hatches.
Warner Brothers is actively censoring Save Mothra on their fucking on that chant video.
Yep.
On the trailer.
Really?
Yes. Because they don't have a fucking sense of humor.
Like, do it right now. If you don't believe me, post Save Mothra on there and watch your fucking comment just magically disappear in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'll have to try that later. I got some homework, folks.
I honestly think they should embrace the meme.
They do embrace the meme, which is fucking dumb.
Like, own it. Just be like, yeah, fuck yeah. It's... I think that it's I think you're right that we'll see them team up, but I also have to say from how this trailer is constructed, Kong is going to be like the Rocky Balboa. He's the underdog. He's the guy that they're going to try to build up the whole movie rooting for, because here he cares about this little orphan girl and stuff like that. He has an emotional connection to the orphan girl. He's he's the last of his kind, and he puts his hand on the handprint of his ancestor and shit. It's like they're building it up to where it's like Kong's story, where Kong has to fight for the orphan girl, fight for his ancestors against a Godzilla that is apparently being mind controlled or something. We don't know. And that's what I from the trailer, that's what I think it's going to be.
So if Kong is Rocky Balboa, does that make Godzilla Clubber Lang or Ivan Drago?
He's Apollo Creed. He's the best that ever was.
Okay, so what does that make Mechagodzilla?
Tommy the Machine Gun.
I bow to your wisdom on that, Ben, because that is fucking brilliant. Ghidorah is obviously Drago.
If he dies, he dies.
Yeah.
Let's see all these pictures. No picture of me.
They actually filmed it for that movie, for Creed 2. They filmed a scene where an elderly Drago and Rocky fight in like a restaurant. They actually like start beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, wasn't that actually part of the movie where they get into a bit of a scrap like that?
No,
they...
it's not the movie.
Okay.
I think they sort of realized that as much as people say they want to see it, you don't want to see it.
Yeah, you really want to see what Stallone looks like boxing at this age? Watch those grudge match where he fights De Niro in a boxing ring. Your guy, I would assume you're taking Godzilla to win this, Ben?
My take is King Kong is going to have the upper hand, and then all of a sudden, whatever is mind controlling Godzilla will be saved by the human characters that we don't know anything the fuck about, including the orphan girl, the woman with the cleavage, and then the doctor from Iron Man 3, and the Japanese guy are going to like stop the mind control device, and then
Japanese guy's dead.
What?
He took a nuclear missile to the face.
Okay, then the other people I mentioned, the orphan girl, the scientist from Iron Man 3, and the woman with the cleavage, and maybe one of the military guys. I don't know which one.
Forget Seven.
Yeah.
And then you have the, like I said, that Asian guy that's in front of the screen with the Mechagodzilla specs. That's Sarazawa's son.
Yeah. So we're going to have all those people teamed up together to stop the mind control device that Monarch has secretly implemented, because they want to like increase their spending to build anti-Titan stuff by having Titan attacks or some bullshit.
This is, of course, Ben's supposition of what the plot is, having not seen the movie yet.
No one's seen the fucking movie yet, JT. Of course it's my supposition.
I know, I'm just messing with you.
Okay. And then after King Kong lays the smackdown with the dorsal fin battle axe, and then Godzilla wakes up from the mind control, they sort of roar at each other a little bit, and then someone's like, look, they're talking, they're communicating. And then all of a sudden they team up to fight Mechagodzilla, and then maybe Ghidorah shows up at the end or something. I don't know. I'm just sort of spitballing it, but maybe I'm giving them too much credit. It's going to be stupider than that.
Following along Ben's thought train, I don't think all that's going to come true, but I have a feeling you're going to have a scene kind of like Monster X.
God.
Where they're fighting Mechagodzilla and suddenly it changes into King Ghidorah.
I Okay.
Because they're using King Ghidorah's head to pilot it or some shit, and then it regenerates back into a fully grown King Ghidorah.
I got stupider than that. I got stupider than that, Red.
Can I give my stupid first?
Yes.
Okay. We get in most of what Ben says goes on, because I think that's very likely what the plot will roughly follow that. But we get like an end credit scene where we see Jonah in his some lab working whatever with the King Ghidorah head, and camera pans up and we see Gigan with the motherfucking chainsaw hands.
Okay, this is what I think's going to happen. What you predicted before was based on play by the numbers, what we see in the trailer. That was my earlier prediction. This is my crack theory prediction. Ghidorah is still alive, but healing somewhere in Antarctica. And the severed Ghidorah head is also, because of the proximity near Monarch scientists, is my controlling one of the scientists to like do all this shit to unleash the Mecha Godzilla and also use some other weird device, like this weird didn't they have like this weird sonar thing that can talk to monsters?
Well, that's the Orca, which was the MacGuffin of King of the Monsters.
And using the Orca to like mind control Godzilla to attack things, and you're gonna have a scene where like the scientist guy is possessed or something, like moving really jerkily, saying, "I am Ghidorah, and I reach beyond the grave." Da 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 da. Bullshit, something, and then all of a sudden,
no.
I'm saying that's the crack theory. I mean, it's fully crack.
No. You're cracked.
No.
I just want like them to have aliens come from outer space, like some of the classic Showa things, and they're tin foil and suits and sunglasses on, and we come bearing gifts and we can teach you how to control these monsters. Oh, we are double crossing you, and we're going to use all the titans, god that's a dumb name, all the monsters to take over your puny world.
Well, here's my theory. You know, handsome fucking Norwegian guy there that's in the trailer,
yes,
they're gonna turn out to have a secret project, and he's going to grow big and become Jet Jaguar and fight the monsters.
Sold.
That'd be cool.
Okay, so we have play by the numbers theory, which was my first theory about how about the Orca mind control and you know, how they're pumping Godzilla up to be the protagonist because the orphan girl and all that bullshit. We have my crack theory with Ghidorah controlling scientists from beyond the grave. We have Red's theory. We have JT's theory. So what is the movie actually going to be?
It's going to be fun. It's Godzilla fighting King Kong. That's all I care about. The plot could make little to no sense, like 90% of the Godzilla canon. I'm just, my biggest gripe with people not liking this movie isn't that they don't like this movie or any of the franchise, are people who justify their not liking something because it doesn't make sense. Well, half the shit in Star Trek or Star Wars or Battlestar Galactica or any popular science fiction based franchise doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Who are these people? What are you talking about? And
90% of the people that bitch about stuff on the internet. My point is,
you need to stop reading that shit.
It's not what I'm talking about, Red. I mean, it is and it isn't. What I mean, my point is, just watch the movie and make up your own mind. Like, so I think the problem with a lot of these films, and why a lot of people say it sucks beforehand, is they haven't watched the movie. And that's my biggest gripe with a lot of things. It's like, watch the movie, then comment. Or say, I don't think that is interesting enough for me to watch it, and then don't see the movie. But I'm tired of people writing shit off just, you haven't seen it yet, and as if that makes it okay. No, that looks dumb. You look dumb, but I'm still talking to you. I think it'll be fun.
That's a lot of bitterness in you, JT.
Yes, I've kept a tight lid on that for all the years we've been podcasting, Ben. I think it's starting to leak out.
Let it go.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's going to be a fun movie. It's Godzilla versus King Kong. What more do you want?
Trailer doesn't have rap music.
Yeah, that's Martin movie marketing. Nah.
Rap music for a giant gorilla. Isn't that kind of racist?
In chains on a boat.
I don't know, is it racist for them to put the original King Kong in chains on the boat in the original 1930s movie?
That was supposed... Okay, lots of people say that was allegorical, and I don't know if I'll give that director that much credit, but people certainly said that.
Yeah. I'm not commenting on the chains. I mean,
what I think is funny about that trailer, and this is my last thought, is you have an action movie shot of King Kong, fucking King Kong, jumping off the boat with the explosion behind him, and that action hero jumping away from the explosion pose, and that cracked me up.
Like, kind of like, cracked me up too, because gorillas can't swim.
I know, but like I said, just the fact that like it's like you could like it's supposed that Will Smith did like 100 times and like Bad Boys and shit, like. Or Bruce Willis as John McClane doing that same jumping away from the explosion pose, jumping off the Nakatomi Plaza pose. That's the same pose. It's just so funny seeing fucking King Kong do a 90s action movie jumping away pose.
Yeah. I mean, ordinary apes can't swim, but it's King motherfucking Kong. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Gorillas are notoriously afraid of deep water.
Didn't they have more to do with the fact that hippos were normally in deep water and hippos were...
No! Like... They're not even in the same goddamn fucking area of existence. A fucking gorilla has never seen a hippo in its life.
Okay.
Ben, get your shit together. Shake your head.
I don't know. I didn't ever
study. Rub the two brain cells you have together. Generate some fucking power.
Look, I never really say the whole gorilla versus bear thing as much as you guys did, so.
I've never studied it either. You're the one who always brings it up, though. And yes, a bear will fucking eat a gorilla.
Why is there not a giant bear kaiju then?
There should be one from Canada. I don't know why it's not.
Maybe it's in Russia. I'm sorry, was that racist too?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's all we have for the Monsterverse and the Titans this year, Ben.
JT from Saskatoon.
Ending.
Here, say goodnight.
So long.
Kong bows to no one.
Then he fucking uses the axe like a shield and jumps up and fucking smashes him right in the head.